There's a stick. And you got to do a boil. You're shoving all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar. Delicious. And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce. Mashed potatoes,
yeah. I eat with gusto, damn your bet. My country, tis of thee. I eat for social progress. I eat for victory.
Hey. Delicious.
Stay hungry. Stay hungry. Stay hungry.
Want some more?
Delicious. Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour. Thank you for tuning in. It is Michelle Anna Jordan, live in the flesh. Nice to be here. Did you get to a farmer's market this week? I had a great time at this Sebastopol farmer's market today. Wanted to get to the Santa Rosa original yesterday and couldn't because of my schedule. But it's just such a great time at farmer's markets right now. Tomatoes are actually still good. There are glorious peppers, good winter squashes, great green beans. And, you know, the farmer's markets have become just really the best place for pretty much all kinds of proteins. So, you know, if you're not shopping at a farmer's market, go to the mirror, look at yourself and say, why not? And then go. There's one every day of the week except Monday right now. Before we get to our main topic this evening, which is Calabash, a festival of gourds, art, and the garden, which we talk about in some form or another every year here on Mouthful, I wanted to talk a little bit about really wonderful woman who is with us no more as of this morning. Marcela Hazan died earlier today. I believe, if I have this right, she was 94 years old. She is the person who taught everyone about Italian cooking. She taught them literally in person at her home cooking school in Bologna. She and her husband, Victor, who is just such a wonderful person as well and is a wine expert, and her son, Giuliano, who also is currently, he's actually in Bologna, I believe it's Bologna right now, teaching about cooking. And together they just brought so much genuine Italianness to everyone here in America and in other parts of the world as well. I was really lucky. I met Marcela a couple times. I think, you know, a lot of people pronounce it Marcella. And it's actually my worst moment in Mouthful, my meeting with her. I was at Mondavi. They were doing their annual visiting chefs cooking program, and they invited me. And most of the time, there were people there that I wasn't really that interested in seeing, but they had Marcella. And it's like, definitely yes. And they arranged that I would get to interview her and Victor. They had a special room set up for us. And right when she finished her cooking class, which was just so wonderful, she was so personable and down to earth, unpretentious. I think she would have smacked anybody who tried to call her a celebrity chef. Actually, she was so nice, she wouldn't have smacked them, but inside she might have been thinking about it. She was just down to earth and real. We were going to have something like a 45-minute or an hour break for her before she came into the interview with me. And I think she was under the weather. I think she was getting over a flu. And I was pretty new at what I was doing, especially when it came to remote broadcasts. And I didn't have an engineer that with me. I had equipment that I had to plug in myself and do all that. And so right at when the class at Mondavi ended, it's like, let's do the interview now. I was like, right this minute, I need to go to bed, so let's do it now. So we go into this room, and she and Victor both smoked. So in this little room with a lot of cigarette smoke, and I was so nervous, and I didn't realize until after the interview that I had plugged the jack into the wrong... I didn't get the interview. So I had this wonderful conversation with her. Everything seemed great, and it went into the ether, as sometimes happened. But I came away with two signed books, and she even spelled my name correctly. And over the years, you know, I had contact with her at different times. Most recently, and perhaps most interestingly, on Facebook. She was on Facebook a lot. And she was always, she would communicate with anybody. She had, you know, a couple thousand friends at least, maybe more than that. And I remember one time she said, I was saying something about taking the scales off salmon. And I do that because I really like really crispy salmon skin. You can even use it as bacon on a BLT. And she said she never scaled her salmon because the scales add really good flavor. But she was so personable and so internet savvy. And I just think of all these people saying, oh, you have a computer, I can't do that. You know, and all these people who are consider themselves old before they're old and have that resistance to technology. And Marcella just seemed to love the technology. It was only, gosh, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago that I just found myself thinking about her a lot. And I posted a note on her Facebook page saying, you know, Marcella, I had a dream about you the other night. And I just find myself thinking about you and wondering how you're doing. You and Victor are doing there. They were living, they moved to Florida a number of years ago and have been living on Longboat Key. And she just wrote back the greatest response. She talked about what it's like getting old. You know, she slowed down. She's not as quick as she used to be. She still really enjoys eating and cooking and that sort of thing. And she and Victor were so in love. They go on my list. I have a list of great couples throughout history, both living and in fiction. And Marcella and Victor are definitely on that. So it wasn't that long ago, and then she died at home this morning, and Victor posted that information on Facebook. So anyway, this she was wonderful. If you don't know her books and you love Italian food, well, if you love Italian food, you probably do. But if for some reason you've missed them, the classic Italian cookbook is one of my Bibles, The Essence of Italian Cooking, Marcella Cucina. You know, she just brings you Italy in that really genuine way from the hearth and the home, not from the restaurant. So, Marcella, you had a great life, inspiration to all of us. And, Victor, our hearts go out to you. And on that note, we're turning our attention to someone else who wins our hearts here in Sonoma County, and that is Food for Thought, which is celebrating its 25th anniversary, and the Festival Calabash, celebrating gourds, art, and the garden, which I believe it's the 13th year. Is that right?
It's our 13th year, yes.
13th year. And we have with us Elisa Baker, who's the volunteer coordinator, and Lynn McCarthy, who is this year's event chef. She has Cottonwood Catering and Events.
Correct.
Yes. So let's talk first about the event. It's on October 6th.
It is.
Noon
Sunday,
to 5.
Next Sunday.
Uh-huh. Yeah, noon to 5.
1 to 5.
1 to 5.
1 to 5.
Okay, 1 to
yeah.
5. And it takes place at Food for Thought on Railroad Avenue. Yeah. They're in Forestville.
Right, downtown Forestville. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's just great. The Food for Thought gardens there are so wonderful. You know, Doug Gosling is just such a magician in the garden.
He is. And this time of year is really the perfect time of year for
it
the
is.
Gardens.
It is, absolutely.
Too.
Do you have any sort of sunflower circle or anything this year?
We don't have the sunflower circle this year. We have a bean circle.
Oh, cool.
And then we've got all the amaranth, which is always a hit with
the
people.
Amaranth. Amaranth, I remember this the first time I learned about amaranth. I was on my way home from Sonoma State, and that was back when one of the best farm stands was the Palace of Fruit. You know, they're in Pengrove on Old Redwood Highway. And I was, let's say depressed. You know, it was one of those romantic things. And I just thought, well, maybe I could garden. And I looked, and there was this beautiful picture of what is amaranth, but was called Love Lies Bleeding. It's like, oh, this is perfect. So I bought some Love Lies Bleeding seeds. And, you know, that cured me. So the amaranth there. And you can eat. Amaranth is a grain.
It's a grain, uh-huh.
And also the greens are really good.
Are they? Yeah, I
greens,
didn't realize
yeah,
that.
Yeah, the greens are really
green.
Good. I don't know. I think you have to get the greens when they're younger, not once the grains are fully formed. But yeah, amaranth greens. They have a really lovely flavor.
Yeah, and beautiful colors for the fall.
Yeah, great
and
colors.
And actually, Doug Gosling has brought most of those seeds back, a lot of them back from Africa, and planted them in the garden, and then they just keep reseeding themselves and going.
Yeah, it's a great event. So what can you tell us about what's happening this year? I mean, I think we know, and you brought some gourd art. You know, at the heart of the event is the silent auction of all of the beautiful gourds.
Right. And this year we have over 90 artists participating from all over the Bay Area. So we have almost 100 gourds. And artists take those gourds and do beautiful things with them, as you said. And then we do a silent auction and auction them off. So that is the heart of Calabash. And Calabash means gourd. Actually, it means a bottle gourd. And I did a little research before I came in because I knew that Calabash meant gourd, but I didn't know much more than that. And it turns out that gourds have been here for over 8,000 years in America.
In
actually.
North America? Oh, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And originally they were used for containers to carry water, cups, to carry all kinds of things. And people still use them all over the world today for that as well.
They make great salad bowls, too.
Do they? Yeah.
Yeah, they make wonderful salad bowls. Yeah. So what else will be happening besides the it's impossible to describe all of the amazing creations that artists make. I got the 1 year that I've been and that I participated in as an artist, but I also bid, and I got a penguin. And it looks exactly like a penguin, but it's made out of a gourd, and it's got that inflection where it's a penguin looking down, and the artist just did an incredible job painting, and it's standing on a gourd that has been cut apart, so it looks like a little mountainous ice flow. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
And there's also that you get to vote.
Yes, you get to vote. We have a People's Choice Award, so everybody votes on their favorite gourd, and then that People's Choice Award gourd is announced at 3 o'clock and gets its own ribbon and gets its own acclaim. So that's kind of nice too. We've got that.
Yeah.
That
now, is there also professional judging? I can't remember.
There is. Well, we do judge the gourds initially, and give them what we call a jury or a judge's award.
I thought there was. Yeah.
So we have, I think we have seven jury awards this
cool.
year. Yeah. And then we also have a raffle. So we have six raffle baskets. So we have the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence will be there.
Oh.
And they sell raffle tickets for us. And they're
quite
outrageous.
There's nothing like the sisters.
There's nothing
like the sisters.
The sisters
are so wonderful.
They really add some glamour and glitz and fun.
And if you need makeup tips, you might be able to talk one of them into giving you makeup tips.
Halloween makeup tips.
Yeah, really.
Perfect, yeah. So this year our MC actually is Sister No Vanilla, who is a.k.a. Mike Bernard, and he's going to be doing the MC for us. And he is he's a longtime AIDS activist and a longtime supporter of Food for Thought. So he will be appearing in face
this year. Oh, that's great. That's great.
Yeah.
And then there's also a food element.
Absolutely.
But actually, before we get to that, because I know you're going to be talking a lot about that, Lynn, you can take tours.
Yes, we do tours of both the gardens and of the food bank itself. Because for a lot of people, it's their first experience of the food bank.
Right.
And we get it looking just beautiful that day, really spiffy. And we have volunteers who do those tours throughout the day. And then we have gardeners who will be doing tours of the garden throughout the day as well.
Now, in some past years, there have been workshops on working with gourds and that sort of thing. Will there be that component this year?
Actually, we are doing demonstrations this year. Nancy Tello, who is a longtime gourd artist and does classes for us before the event, is going to be doing demonstrations of how to create a gourd and how to design and work with gourds. So that'll be fun, and that'll be different this year. The other thing is we're doing sales. We have Food for Thought Antiques, which is an antique store that supports us, the food bank.
Right.
And so we'll have a retail sales area of all kinds of garden art, garden decor there that the antique store will be selling as well.
Great.
So lots of opportunities to spend some money.
And then in years past, the staff has circulated with appetizers, and they've worn these amazing gourd hats. Are they still doing that?
Well, it's not the staff this year, but we do have volunteers.
And they're wearing...
And they will
actually,
be
it was
wearing.
Probably volunteers.
Right.
And are they
the
wearing the gourd hats?
The staff usually wears the gourd hats, too. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah, and these gourd hats, they are so wonderful.
They're pretty outrageous. Yeah, it's a little difficult to work and wear a hat, but
yeah, especially since you have gourds hanging off them and banging in front of your eyes and that sort of thing.
Right, it is a balancing act. Yeah,
yeah, but it's just so.
But it's a lot of fun.
They're so whimsical and wonderful. They're really great. And there was a guy at the farmer's market today selling little tiny gourds. I mean, 2 inches high, 2.5 inches high, 4 for $1. I meant to get some and I totally forgot, so I'm hoping he's going to be there next week.
Well, now that you mentioned those too, the sisters are going to be wearing these gourd earrings, which will be chandelier, you know,
yeah,
made out of gourd. So I have an artist making those.
Oh, that's great.
And I haven't seen them yet, but I think they'll be pretty outrageous.
Yeah, those, yeah.
So and we may auction those off as well.
That's perfect. Yeah. We're going to take a little gourd music break and be right back and hear about the food that you can enjoy at Calabash. You are listening to Mouthful. That was music played on a gourd. And there will be music.
There will be music. Yes, we have 6 different musicians playing throughout the day. Yes, and they'll be playing gourd instruments. Daniel Berkman, and I'm not sure if that's who we heard or not, plays the kora, which is the most traditional of all the gourd instruments. And he's actually been at Calabash every year for 12 years for us. Yeah, real commitment. Yeah. And he'll be there again this year.
Yeah, we were, I was always hoping that Doug was going to bring in some Hawaiian musicians. So, and, you know, we all, if you study hula for very long, you eventually end up learning to play either an ipu or an ipu heke. Ipu is made out of a single gourd and ipu heke is made out of 2 gourds. And ancient hula, kahiko, is danced to a large degree by an ipu heke. Oh. And so we just made our ipu hekes and ipus a few months ago, and we all dance. But it's a really bad time. My kumu, which is what the ahulu teacher is called, my kumu can't come because she's involved in a very big annual performance in October. So I made a couple of other suggestions to Doug. I hope he's able to have some. Because the way the Hawaiians use gourds is really different than Africa. Uh-huh. And it's really beautiful. Really, really beautiful. And of course, they brought them with them from Tahiti. Uh-huh. And they're really an important part of the culture.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but that's a really nice part of Calabashes, the music. And there's also the bench down in the corner, what is it, the southeast corner of the garden, uh-huh. The bench with the memorial
right.
tree.
Right, we have an AIDS memorial.
Yes.
Right, an arbor there. Yeah. And so there's a fountain there, and then people can inscribe names or any, you know, anything they'd like to on a piece of copper. And then that's hung from the wisteria branches.
Yeah, and then that makes such a beautiful noise in the wind.
And it glows, yeah.
Yeah, I love that part of the garden there.
And it's actually the only AIDS memorial in Sonoma County.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That makes it even more special than it already is.
Yes.
Now let's talk a little bit about the food. So, Lynn, you have Cottonwood Catering.
Right.
Where are you based?
Here in Santa Rosa.
In Santa Rosa?
But we work all over.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
So what are your plans for Calabash?
Oh, we get really excited every year because not only is it completely volunteer-driven, but we get wonderful donations from all the incredible food purveyors around the area. Mm-hmm. So that we try to figure out what we're getting from where and then just back a menu into that.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the wild mushrooms, of course, are fabulous here.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing a wild mushroom and kale crepe this year. We're doing a pumpkin chev cheesecake squares topped with Gravenstein apples, of course, that are from our own little local stash and mm-hmm. the goat cheeses from Redwood Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also doing a walnut bread buttons. And we get the walnut bread from Safeway. They donate that. And we're doing it with pate and topped with pickled onions, cioppino with Dungeness crab, and then olive bread baton. And then we also are doing duck this year, which I don't know where we're getting it yet, but we have a lot of farmers that are giving us.
There's some great duck in Sonoma County.
Yeah, and we're going to do that sort of a Peking-inspired duck salad uh-huh. on a wonton, crisp wonton chip. And then we have a really wonderful donation of beef this year. And so we decided to take part of the chuck and do a Cabernet braised beef and serve it on slices of roasted sweet potato with some herbs, fall herbs. And then we, in addition to that's what we're making with our volunteer power at the food bank. And then we have our other volunteers that are bringing other foods in that they're making. We have one gentleman that's got a lot of chicken. So he's doing a roasted egg salad on romaine leaves. And we've got another volunteer that loves to bake, and she's doing some great desserts. Somebody else who loves to can and pot things, she's got preserved lemons. She's doing a crostini with fig and preserved lemon. So just a lot of amazing seasonal fresh foods that are done with a lot of love and care. And I attribute the day to sort of being similar to me to like Thanksgiving or Christmas, because the spirit is so vibrant and amazing there. Everybody is working in concert to just bring this incredible event together, and the weather's usually beautiful, and everybody's just smiling. I mean, it's a long day, but it doesn't feel like work. We're all volunteering together, and
It's a really happy day.
It is. And it's very happy.
And it's also, Food for Thought in general is a really happy location.
Yes.
And I think that people who haven't experienced yet, and there's still that, AIDS, you know,
stigma.
That's so sad. Yeah. If you go to Food for Thought, you're just really struck by how it overflows with love and happiness. That's always what I feel when
exactly.
I'm there.
Exactly. Yeah, it's never a sad place.
No.
Yeah.
No.
I tell people we're doing very serious work, but we have a lot of fun doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's absolutely mm-hmm. true there.
Right.
So can we talk a little bit about the history of Food for Thought?
Yeah.
Because I know that they've been there. Well, not at... This is a newer location. When they started out 25 years ago, they were not in this marvelous location.
No.
And I don't remember now where they started out.
Well, we started out around a kitchen table with just a group of volunteers, of people pulling together to help their friends and neighbors and feed them and take care of them. So we became known as the food fairies because the food was gathered from friends and neighbors and then would just suddenly appear on people's porches and at their doors. So we carry that name on today, and volunteers at the food bank are still known as food fairies.
Which is so great.
It is. It's fun. It's more of the fun of the place, right?
Yeah.
And then we moved to the senior center in Guerinville for a while, and then we moved to Forestville to a tiny little building next to the bank there in on downtown Forestville. It's about the size of a closet. It was really, really small. We were there for a number of years before people got together, supporters got together, bought the property where we are now, and then raised the money to build the food bank where we are now. So we've been there now for 13 years.
So Calabash was the first, started with your first year there.
It did, yes.
Okay.
It did.
Yeah, you finally had a location
to
do it.
Right.
And Doug Gosling, who is the master gardener out at Occidental Arts and Ecology and has been there through every name that it has gone through over the last, I guess, 35, 40 years, something like that. He was the first. He installed the gardens, right?
He did. He did. And he is there today. In fact, he was there today. He works. He's just amazing with volunteers, again, volunteer help. So he gets plants from the mother gardener. Mother Garden, excuse me, in Occidental, and uses most of those. So it's really almost a demonstration garden. You'll find things that you don't see in a typical, you know, backyard garden.
Yeah. And then how is the garden used?
The garden, we harvest from the garden for the food bank. It's also a meditative spot, and, you know, gardening and food and is therapy for a lot of us. And so anyone's welcome to wander in the garden. The neighbors come in and wander through. Clients come in, help themselves in the garden, and also work in the garden as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
And have you been there since the beginning?
I have not.
Okay,
No.
You talk about it like you just were there at the kitchen table.
No, I talk about that a lot to volunteers, so I sound that way. I've been volunteering there for 10 years, but I have been on staff for 5 years as the volunteer coordinator.
How many volunteers does it take to make Food for Thought work?
Well, we have over 600 volunteers.
Wow.
I know. It's amazing.
Wow.
It really is. It really is. Now, that's a large group, and not everyone is working all the time.
Sure.
For Calabash, we have around 120 people volunteering just to put Calabash together. And typically, I have about 350 volunteers that work with us on a very active basis and a regular basis.
So they work in the garden.
They work in the garden.
They work in the store or the food bank.
They work at our antique store. We have delivery drivers. We are the only food bank that actually delivers food to clients who can't get to the food bank. We have volunteers who do food drives, so we're out at grocery stores.
Yeah, it seems like grocery stores, they hand you the little flyers and you go in and you buy something. I have a question about that, but we're going to take another musical break here on Mouthful. Then I'll ask my question, and I want to hear more about the antique store. I haven't heard a lot about that yet. listening to Mouthful, the One Country's Most Delicious Hour here on KRCB-FM. Thanks for tuning in tonight. I am Michelle Anna Jordan. Always great to be here, Mouthful, in its 17th year. Can you believe that? Oh, my goodness. Where does the time go? We are talking about Calabash, a festival of art, of gourds, art, and the garden, with Elisa Baker, Food for Thought and Calabash volunteer coordinator, and Lynn McCarthy, the chef for the event. She has Cottonwood Catering and Events and is volunteering to work this event. So tell me about the antique store. It's on 116, a little bit south of Sebastopol.
It is, just south of Sebastopol, yeah. And sort of, I call it Antique Row or Antique Alley. Yeah, it's a nice spot. So the store was actually left to us in someone's estate, which was a very generous gift to us. And we decided to take it on, and we've been running it now for 6 years. And all the profits from the store come back to the food bank proper. And it's also run by volunteers. We have a store manager and an assistant who are paid staff, but everybody else is volunteer at the store.
Yeah. And is there any particular, like, is it antiques in general, or is there any specific time period that's a focus or anything?
I don't think there's a time period. Yeah. It really is
I know for a while they had a bunch of mid-century modern stuff.
Yes, they had a special.
You know, Mad Men fans, there you go.
That's right.
They've got it divided up into areas that are sort of themed.
I'd so you can get by there.
Oh, it's fabulous. In the back, so I buy a lot of stuff out in the garden area. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they really do have some fun things and fun props, light fixtures, table. I mean, yeah, you can find it all. I even found some old Western things there.
Oh, cool.
I mean, inside a trunk and whatnot. It's really a great antique store.
It is. And it's open 7 days a week.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh, it's open 7 days a week.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So, no excuse not to go.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Cool. And then there was one other thing I was going to ask you about. What was it? Oh, well, it'll come back to me. Let's talk a little bit about your catering company.
Okay.
How long have you had it?
Well, this new incarnation here in Sonoma County, 4.5 years, I think.
Uh-huh. And where were you before that?
Well, I was... I designed events before that, just 2 years before that. And then before that, I was in Idaho, in Sun Valley, Idaho. I had the catering business, cooking school, restaurant, and a wholesale food business.
Oh.
And I was able to sell that and get back to California. My heart was still here. So,
What was the emphasis of your wholesale food business?
I sold all my fresh foods at the grocery store there, so people could get it because I had quite a large following from my restaurant. And, yeah, it was nice. Although, and it was great. For exposure and keep my staff busy in the slower parts of the year.
Sure, and tell us about your restaurant.
Well, it was fun. It was a daytime, more of a daytime. I did dinners for a while, but breakfast. I love cooking breakfast. Mm-hmm. And we did really fresh seasonal foods. So we had a kind of a deli case. I mean, it was sort of before Whole Foods was really popular. This is back in the early 90s, mid-90s. Mm-hmm. We had all the fresh salads and specialty entrees every day that people could come in and order. And then we had a menu you could get things off of as well. And order. And we had wine and beer and fresh baked things that I... we had a two-story kitchen, and it was so awful for the first 2 years I had it. We burned so many cookies because you put them in the oven in the basement, and you think you're going to remember, and you set the timer, and you're just flying down those stairs, and of course you're too late, you know. So it took me a while to get that right, but we had delicious cookies. We had quite, and it was, you know, it's a ski resort, and so we had quite a large following of celebrities and movie stars, and that was always fun. And
can you tell us any gossip? Who liked what?
Well, you know, do you know John Larroquette? Do you remember him? John Larroquette. He was a comedian. He's really tall. He has on Night Court for a long time, and he had the John Larroquette show. He came in as a regular a lot, and he was so funny. For a long time, he only ate one thing. He liked hot dogs and, I think, Reubens. And I said, John, you've got to branch out and eat something else on this menu. And so he finally did, and he was so happy. And I thought he was going to cry the day I said I was closing and selling. But Brooke Shields was in a lot with, back then, Andre Agassi, and she, very healthy food. I mean, and Mariel Hemingway, she was renovating her kitchen 1 year. She ate there at my place. She was in my place breakfast through lunch every day for, I think it was 2 months maybe. and she ate large salads, special salads, and every week we had a different sort of specialty thing on it. I have so many stories. It's kind of wild. Yeah.
Oh, it sounds like fun. You don't have to stop.
I could so go on.
I know that the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence would love this.
Oh, yeah. And now I've got, instead of more TV and movie stars and certainly celebrities, I do cook for musicians, famous musicians. I do backstage cooking. So
here?
Yeah. I just did some shows for Diana Ross in San Francisco.
Oh, really?
I did Willie Nelson. I love it. You know, Beach Boys, Crosby, everybody just about.
Oh.
Yeah, Crosby, Stills, Nash. I love the old school ones. I do at Christmas time, Johnny Mathis and Andy Williams, of course. He just died, but I did his event last December before he passed away. And, you know, just all genres, country. Mm-hmm. And so that's really fun. I just did a big music festival, which is why I couldn't do Calabash last year. It was on the same weekend. For the B.R. Cohen charity event.
Oh, you do the B.R. Cohen one?
Yeah, I do backstage cooking for the artists. So we had Heart and the Gin Blossoms and Bad Company. They were fabulous. I couldn't believe it. And the Dewey Brothers, of course. So that's really fun. I really like it a lot.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I had a catering company a long time
you
ago.
You did.
And I think I did two or three, maybe four backstage gigs, much smaller.
Uh-huh.
But I did Arlo Guthrie, the Greek Theater. And
wow.
He came up and was talking to me about my eggplant sandwiches. I didn't even know it was him. Ah. He's really tall. Oh, my God. He was really tall. I had no idea. And then I did, here in Sonoma County, I did Stan Getz.
Nice.
And T-Bone Burnett.
Oh, wow.
And then, I did some things down at the Great American Music Hall, but you know what? I can't remember. Nobody who made my heart go pitter-patter.
Right. Yeah. I know how it is. Yeah, it is funny. Sometimes you might know the main artist, but you don't know some of the other musicians in the band, and everybody's sort of talking to you. And then I can't wait to sneak out into the theater during the show and see who's who. And
who
sometimes
are,
I think this cool hip dude is going to be playing the guitar, and he's the lighting guy. You never quite know.
Now, do you get? I remember I had a friend who worked a lot in the music business, and she would sometimes show me contracts with all of the insane writers.
It's called a rider. Yeah.
Yeah. Are those things still happening?
Yeah, you get a rider for every show. They're not super insane. You know, one of the things that's really nice about here in Sonoma County and where I work, I've been working there for quite a long time, we have quite a reputation of having the best food in the business. So,
oh, nice.
Just about every act I've ever had said it's the best food they've ever had
cool.
on tour.
Uh-huh.
Some of them said, I've been touring for 18 years, and they said, I attribute part of it to my skill, but also the fact that we are in, you know, beautiful wine and food country.
Great ingredients.
Yeah, so the riders are... usually just trying to gear it towards what their overall crew wants. It's not super crazy. The dressing room writers, the ones that are actually in the rooms, are a little more specific.
Yeah.
Like, I only want this kind of bread, and I need this particular water. And
I remember one that was somebody was it. It wasn't Sammy Hagar, but it was somebody who Sammy Hagar reminds me of.
Mm-hmm.
And there had to be, it was either jelly beans or M&Ms, but one color had to be taken out.
They couldn't
have the color.
It's a pretty common story around the business. Green was the color, yeah.
Yeah, I can't remember. There was one, and there were some other things, some non-food items that had to be left in the dressing room. It's like, really? You have to have the caterer get that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Back in the day.
Yeah.
One of the most dramatic riders I've done several times was for the Wailers, you know, Bob Marley's family, and they have deadened their senses so much. From smoking marijuana for so many years that they only eat super, super sweet or super, super salty food. So their rider was full of candy, certain specific candies, and then sardines, saltines. I mean, every chips, there was nothing in between.
I didn't know that would happen.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
And of course, they crave, they want the munchies and they want
that
stuff.
Sure, they've got the munchie thing happening.
And then, of course, we had a certain bottles of booze that we had to have and, you know. Yeah, so the poor guard that was guarding the room once actually got so high from the smoke was billowing out of the room. We had to replace him mid-show because he was going to pass out.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, he's a part-time cop, too. You know, everybody's sort of leeway when they're the Wailers.
Yeah, but what can you do? I remember I fed Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, wow.
Up here at LBC, back when it was still LBC. What a sweet guy.
Yeah.
He's a total, he'd become, you know, he'd quit drinking. So he was real into that, and he'd become a total vegetarian.
Oh.
He's a very sweet guy.
Yeah. Well, a lot of the acts are healthier vegetarian. They're trying to eat leaner so they have the energy. And certainly some of the older acts are definitely watching their weight. And they appreciate healthy cooking.
It must be fun to cook for Willie Nelson, I would think.
You know, I like him a lot as an artist. He's not the most fun act to go for because they're very simple. They're not super challenged. They don't really. They like All American Fare.
Okay.
You know, kind of baseline. I prefer the artists that are a little bit more
adventurous.
Yeah, world travel. They really like it, and they don't look at something and say, "I say this is fennel," and they're like, "What?" You know, they kind of get it a little bit more. And it's quinoa. You know, I did an artist who'll sure remain nameless, but she had just written a cookbook recently.
Oh.
And I was sort of shocked when I served her some quinoa and she didn't even know what it was, you know, and I thought, okay, who helped you write the book, right?
Yeah, really, really. Interesting. So,
mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, on that note of gossip, maybe we'll take another musical break and we'll be right back and we will return to the subject of Calabash. And Mouthful, we are celebrating the gourd known as the Calabash, sort of an umbrella name, really, although it refers to the bottle gourd. But at the celebration that takes place next Sunday, you will see all kinds of gourds, from little tiny ones. Can't wait to see those on the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence's ears. We're talking with Elisa Baker, the volunteer coordinator, and Lynn McCarthy of Cottonwood Catering and Events. How do people get tickets and what do they cost?
Good question. The easiest way, I think, to get tickets would be through our website, and that's just fftfoodbank.org.
fftfoodbank.org.
Yes.
And that will give you all the information. If you'd rather get them by phone, you can call. If you live in Forestville, you can stop by.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And our phone number is 707-887-1647.
Okay. That's 887-1647 for Food for Thought.
Right.
And those tickets will be available up until the day of the event.
Yes, actually, you can buy tickets at the door.
And it's $50 at the door, right?
It's $50 at the door, and it's $45 in advance mm-hmm. before the event, yes.
Yeah, that's to encourage you to buy your ticket in advance.
Yes.
People like to know
get
how many people are coming.
That's right, that's right.
And then once you get inside, you bid.
Yes, you get a bidder. You get a program and a bid number. And you look at these fantastic gourds, and then each section closes. We have several sections, and they close at a different time. And It's our signature fundraiser for us. It brings a lot of people to the food bank. I find a lot of people who have never heard about Food for Thought come to us through Calabash, and they see us there, and they love it. And it's a wonderful way for us to gather volunteers and to gather all kinds of support for the food bank.
Now, you brought some gourds with you, and the one that you purchased, the decorated one, I want you to bring that over so we can talk about it. And this is something, man, this is something real close to my heart. I absolutely love it. It looks almost like it's copper leaf.
Yes, I think so. Mesh and copper.
Yeah, there's a brass mesh on top, and it's tied with some sort of gold wire or copper wire. And then underneath it, onto the gourd, is copper leaf,
yes.
I think.
Yeah.
And there's some curly Q copper wire hanging off it. And it's a snake gourd. And a snake gourd looks like, a snake. And it curves. And it's absolutely, this would be my favorite one at an event. This is just the style that I love. I love snake gourds.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you bought this at when?
I did. I bought it a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. This is done by Beth Hartman, and she is a sculptor. So it's sort of reminiscent of what
it's
a sculptor might do.
You know, sometimes you see them turned into, animals. Somebody did a beautiful frog one year, turned into animals, turned into birds, turned into bowls or vessels, that sort of thing.
I've seen a jewelry box.
Yes.
Yeah. Jewelry boxes. Mm-hmm.
But we have lamps this year. We've had lamps.
Yes, I've seen lamps. But this is a piece unto itself. It's art. You could put it on the wall. Mm-hmm. Where do you have it? How do you
I actually,
it?
Right now, I have it in the window.
Okay, yeah.
I move it around.
Yeah. It's really,
it reflects
really,
the light there.
Really gorgeous.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can you say, are you willing to say what you paid for this?
Oh, you know, I can't remember.
Okay.
I can't remember.
Is there any sense of what things sell for?
You know, there's a real range.
Yeah.
There is a real range. We have gourds that sell for as little as $25 to $30, and then gourds that sell for several hundred dollars.
Yeah, I think I paid, if I remember correctly, I think I paid about $130 for my penguin, and then I think somebody paid somewhere between $150 or $200 for the piece that I donated.
Yeah.
I wanted it to sell for $300, but
yes,
maybe the next one. And then you also brought some other gourds. Why don't you tell us about those?
Well, yeah, I brought the gourds just to sort of show you that there's a real variety in sizes, colors, shapes. The traditional calabash is this, a bottle gourd, and it's sort of like two balls connected with a stem, and it shakes.
Yeah, when the seeds dry,
they're rattled.
They're nature's natural rattle.
Right. And I just love them natural like this. And I bought them thinking I was going to do something with them. And it's been years and they're still sitting on my table as decor.
They're beautiful
but they really are beautiful.
And this one you washed this one, right?
Yes, it's been cleaned, yes.
Yeah, because they're very dirty and they have skin on them after they dry.
Yes.
But then if you just either scrub them with a little steel wool or even wash them with a sponge, they reveal this amazing, this one is sort of golden, it really glows. And I know that when we make our ipu hekes for hula, when we scrub them, eventually this pattern emerges. On the one I made, I have a shark with a big smile on its face. I have an angel. I have a phallus. And I have the back of a turtle. And it's not all that subjective. Everyone who looks at it is like, oh my God, that's a little angel. And yes,
there I
see the shark. And there's all different kinds of things. It's really amazing the patterns that these gourds will just reveal once you clean them off.
Oh,
that's
part
of their magic.
Yeah. And just growing in the gardens. We grow them in our garden.
Do you have
an
arbor this year?
We do.
Do you have yes. I want a gourd arbor. I want a really good gardener to come to my house and make me a gourd arbor. I think it's beyond me. There's one of the most magical things I've ever seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And they are. They're just beautiful when they're hanging.
Yeah. And this is really big, long
gourds.
There was one at, I don't know what year it was, at Food for Thought. But there was a gourd that was so long. I guess, I don't think it was a snake gourd. I think it was that kind of gourd that has this really long straight handle and then a bottle at the bottom. It had grown so long that the sidewalk stopped it.
Yeah.
That's the only reason it didn't keep growing.
Yeah.
I think if it had been 100, if the arbor had been 100 feet tall, it would have grown 100 feet.
Yeah.
So it's really you know, everything about gourds is just really magical.
They are. They
and,
are.
In a way, they're like nature's original tableware.
Mm-hmm.
You can buy them. I know there's the place up in Knight's Landing where lots and lots of gourds are grown up sort of west of Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
They're in a very dry area. And when you go, it's amazing. There are thousands and thousands and thousands of every type of gourd. And we went up to get our gourds for our ipu hekes. And there were bins that were just like ladle gourds,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all you really have to do is scrub them clean, cut off the part of the ball and scrape out the inside and you have a ladle.
Yeah. And we have flat gourds that we cut and we use them for the platters. For food. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
And,
it's really fun.
Yeah. That's a really fun addition. Yeah.
Great. Well, it's just, you know, if I haven't, like, convinced you yet that you need to go to Calabash, I don't know what more I can do. This is really lovely, just looking at this. And one of the things that's nice about it, this one with the copper and the brass wire, is the way light bounces off it.
Uh-huh.
And that's one of the things that makes it really, really pretty. So we've got just 5 minutes left here on Mouthful. Let's talk a little bit more about, so $45,
mm-hmm.
it all goes to Food for Thought.
Yes.
It's your big fundraiser. Let's talk a little bit about the details of the services
okay.
that Food for Thought provides to
yes.
people. And it's people who are either, if I understand correctly, HIV positive or who actually have full-blown AIDS.
Right.
And it's all kinds of nutritional support.
Exactly. Yes. So we are a food bank. We provide food on a weekly basis. Right now we're serving 675 clients all over Sonoma County. And like you said, the only criteria is that you're HIV positive and that you do live in the county and that mm-hmm. you need our support.
Mm-hmm.
So we're providing support to men, women, children. We have a children's pantry so we can provide additional food to families with children. We deliver to about 175 clients who can't get to Forestville. And I think one of the beautiful things about the food bank is that folks have choices. So mm-hmm. you're not coming to the food bank and getting a bag of food that we've pre-selected for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have a choice of what kind of cereal you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you have nutritional needs, we try our best to fill those.
Mm-hmm.
So we do vegan diets. We have vegetarian options. We have low salt, low sugar options as well for people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like going to a regular grocery store mm-hmm. a little bit.
It is.
It's ingredients, not necessarily not prepared foods.
It's not prepared foods,
okay.
No. We do some frozen foods. We mm-hmm. do some frozen vegetarian
entrees. It's like fresh food, fresh fruits and vegetables, fresh proteins.
Exactly.
Meat,
yes.
meats, cheeses.
Dried beans.
Dried
rice.
Beans.
Pastas, cereals.
Right. There are breads, and sometimes there's desserts that are donated that are made
right.
like croissants.
Snacks, yes.
Uh-huh.
Right, right. But we
cheese,
really...
Cheese, dairy.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then we provide nutritional supplements as well to people who need them. We do multivitamins for everyone, and we also do nutritional supplements. We have a nutritionist on staff who consults with clients and works mm-hmm. with clients to work with their particular dietary needs, too.
Mm-hmm. And then what about people who maybe don't know how to cook? Do you have any services for them?
You know, we do. The nutritionist does a cooking class twice a month.
Oh, great.
And each one has a different theme. So she may do smoothies one time. She
uh-huh.
may do a barbecue. She may using food from the food bank.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're right. There's a lot of folks who don't know how to cook.
Mm-hmm.
And we do certainly have peanut butter and jelly and canned soups and that. Because we have people living in a variety of circumstances.
Sure.
Too. Not everybody has a kitchen.
Uh-huh. And, oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Not absolutely. Everyone has a kitchen?
Well, we have clients who are homeless.
Oh,
we
gosh.
Have people who are living in a, you know, maybe in their cars or in a situation where they don't have uh-huh. cooking facilities.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So all kinds.
All kinds.
We like to say we have, clients have told me, that you have our back, you know. Uh-huh. We're that kind of support for people.
Yeah, it's really a great service.
Thank you.
I love Food for Thought. I love the garden. I love knowing that it's there. I love the outreach that you do to the community because there's always, I mean, on one hand, it's very serious. But the thing that you don't do is you don't scare people in the, you know, it's like, oh, God, I love politics, but some of the endless emails I get, it's like, oh, God, if I don't give them $3, right this minute, you know, the world will end and it will be my fault.
Yes.
And you all reach out in a real different way so that I'm aware of what you need, mm-hmm. but I'm going to have some fun. It's like, oh, I want to go to that. I want to do that. I want to go on the garden tours.
Yes.
I want to go to the antique thing. I want, you know, you just do a great, you make people feel good as you're reaching out. And I think that's really great.
It's, yeah, it is. It is important. And to teach, to treat people with that, that kind of respect and mm-hmm. love. Mm-hmm. And humor.
Yeah, I think it's really wonderful. So Miss Mouthful says if you go to one benefit this fall, you should probably make it Calabash. Mm-hmm. And again, fftfoodbank.org to get your tickets, $45 in advance, $50 at the door. The address is there, directions. It's easy to find, just one block south of 116 there in downtown Forestville, and it's a great time. And you know one thing? If you feel inclined to dress up, you can do it there, and that's always a good thing. And on that note, we are just about out of time. I want to say one more time, Victor Hazan, we are thinking about you. Marcella Hazan, rest in peace, you dear, lovely, wonderful woman. And you meet me back here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful, the one country's most delicious hour here on KRCB. Have a great week.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough. Mouthful, the wine country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page. Now let's go.